You're listening to the Fox and the Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hi, Savannah.
Hey, Julie. What did you think of that? And that, well, let me just paint the picture for that. Okay. Right before we went on air, this is a very special episode 99 for us. And before we went on air, I shared something we did over 2 years ago, which was the trailer that preceded the first episode of the podcast that we created together. So what did you think of that trailer we played?
I have if anyone saw me right now, I have a perma grin. I can't stop smiling. I just feel so accomplished. I think that that's the word that comes to mind when I think about standing at this point versus, you know, where we were when we did that trailer, when we did the first episode. I think that, you know, it's really awesome that we are celebrating this. What number is it?
This is episode 99. Just we're gonna slide from third base into home with episode 100 next week.
Yeah, so 99, I mean, being able to stand here with you, metaphorically, obviously, at 99 and having such a beautiful community behind us. I mean, where we were when we started, I mean, we shared this trailer on the Free to Be She show, and we had probably 3 fans, not including Judy, so 4. And we were just as geeked out and as excited and as just joyous. I'd love to be able to find that first time that we were both sharing the podcast on the Free to Be She show and actually put it on our website. Maybe I can do a little hymn work. Mm-hmm. But looking back on our lives and our legacy to this point, I mean, it's amazing.
Well, I wanted to add one more emotion to all those emotions you were stating, which is terrified. Yeah. You know, for me, this was so different. Not because I hadn't done, we had both done podcast appearances prior to coming together with each other. To be the one that's now responsible for it, coming up with topics, doing post-production, getting them scheduled, you know, everything was so scary for me just because.
Yeah, you were venturing. We both were venturing on a very new endeavor. And but you were definitely is there a 12-year-old boy? But now we know. With as much episodes and time that it could be a boy or girl.
That's
or non-binary,
true.
If you want.
It could be.
But we needed help. And what do you do when you have a new task on your hands? You especially, you find a way to figure it out. And I must say that you can admit that you've gotten pretty good at it.
I've gotten better. I still wish, I'm sure there's 1,000 tools out there that would make it even easier for me. But some things I'm like, you know what? I'm a workhorse because sometimes I don't know the skills that I should to make it easier. I'll just grind it out and do it because the amount of effort and time to figure out the new thing to figure out, I could have had it done. So I've gotten really good at listening to us and tweaking, all the little, things that shouldn't be in there to make us tight. Learned a couple tricks here and there through the process. And speaking of all that, which is a perfect segue to the surprise for you, is I played you the trailer off air because what I did as a little pre-100 present is to remaster the first episode.
Our so first sound better.
Yeah, it's the sound quality is better. I re-edited it.
Oh my god.
So I, for the listeners, just let you know early on, I was still able to trim 6-7 minutes off it and not lose any of the important things. Yeah, just like took all the skills you just talked about me learning and getting better at and apply it to episode one, you know, kind of treat it as like a nostalgia project so that when people hear us on episode 100, you know, you kind of can hear where we came from and where we are.
First of all, that is amazing. Now my jaw and my eyeballs are in equal are in tandem right now. But the amazing thing is I listened back to the first episode, which throughout the year, like I've been known to do, like I've been known to go back to the beginning. And it's amazing that we get to share this episode again, but in a more sparkly, more put together package. But the thing that's amazing for me is for that first episode, like we were starting out on a journey with you all listeners as new friends. Like we were still very much learning about one another, you know, what each other's buttons are. And, you know, just really, you have all been there from the beginning of a true and honest friendship. And something that was there even from the beginning is this amazing chemistry. Like we have always had the kind of chemistry from the beginning that I would say is pretty similar to today. The only thing that has kind of enhanced is that kind of honeymoon stage, that when you're first meeting a friendship, like, you know, everything will be so funny and all that. And now things are still funny, but it's like different things that are funny, or you and I have a history and we can look back on, you know, remember when that time happened or whatever it is. And you and I, like, we really have a best friendship.
Yes,
we do. We talk every day in some form. And I think that from the time we started this podcast, that was building, but that really kind of hasn't changed from day one. It's gotten richer and deeper, but our need to connect and to throw ideas around and to develop histories. I mean, histories, think about it, like you know what I'm doing throughout the day. And I have met in person both you and Judy, and you know things about my daughter that you didn't know before, my marriage. And it is just so cool because as we are getting deeper and deeper in this kind of best friendship situation, our listeners are also coming to know us in such a deeper and richer way. It's just, I don't know. How do you feel? I mean, I can.
I feel exactly the same way. Yes, obviously, we've come much closer. We know details of each other's lives because, you know, we share so much, both ourselves and our families. And the one thing I wanted to share with the listeners anecdotally was you talked about the honeymoon phase of when we started. And even though it feels like we still are, that you've come to me a few times because you do listen to the episodes way more than I do. You do go back to them. And the one thing you said a couple of times recently within the last few months, I'd say, is like, you know, I just want us to be funnier like we were on the first few episodes. Like we were so like, you know, silly and off the wall. And you know, we talked about it. And it wasn't that we don't feel we're still bringing funniness and comedy to the each episode, but it was like kind of this off the wall, cheeky, you know, comedy that we were just like throwing out there because we had this new platform to explore and find our space, you know, where we are in this space, almost like in an improv troupe sort of way. So, you know, we talked about we wanted to be funny like it was. And the thing is, we've matured in our journey together. We are still funny. We still have our bits. We still sing. We still do whatever. It's just, we're just evolving and we want it to be organic. And the one thing that Julie and I spoke about was this lamenting of the loss of our comedy, which we didn't.
We haven't.
But what it was is like, you know why? I hear you, my lovely co-host. I hear you and what you're saying. And at the end of the day, it still needs to be organic. It needs to be just that off the cuff, that spontaneity to have those moments. And we still do. They just may sound a little bit different because we are different people than we were 2.5-3 years ago.
And like, we trust each other. We know what each other means by something. So like, in the beginning, it's like this, like you kind of described, it's this new playground, right? Where everything is kind of funny and like, oh, you know, this is how my voice sounds in this way and all these little things. But like, we have been authentic from the beginning. I think that at the start, if you were to look at all our episodes, we have a lot more kind of blue sky episodes, which is just basically, you know, the trimmed fat version of an episode with a specific topic that we were just so new in this space. It's kind of like when you go off to college and your family gives you an allowance. Bad idea, mom and dad. I spent it on weed and candy, overdraft every month. But like, it's just one of those things where you're not responsible and you're just like, skit, skat, skidda do that. You know what I mean? And like, as the year becomes 2 years, like we've really honed in on just getting to the heart of the episode and exploring within that space, where before it was literally like Elizabeth, our dear friend from the Freed Be She era, described the first couple of episodes as like these blue skies I'm speaking about specifically. But she's like, yeah, it just feels like we're like observing some conversation at a coffee shop that we shouldn't really be hearing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Kind of with a cross-dressing lens. And it very much kind of always had a cross-dressing lens, because you are a cross-dresser and I am not. And I work with cross-dressers and you are living with cross-dressing. Yes. So it always kind of had that feel. Even the holiday episodes, like, fine if you're looking for like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there was so much world to cover together.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was all new. It was new for each of us. Yeah. Now we're like, oh, remember all those Thanksgivings ago? I mean, that was just like, you know, we're still exploring, but now we're exploring in the present, not necessarily in the past of our lives. Yeah. It is funny you said that. I didn't even realize that we haven't had so many blue skies episode 50 on, because we did get so much tighter. And dig it, keep our focus on the task at hand. And whether that was us maturing as co-hosts for a pod, or us being cognizant of maybe it was too much and we need to make sure we're concise for the audience, or maybe it was both of us going, oh my God, I got so much to edit now. And maybe we just kept it on topic more. I don't know. We still go off on tangents, but I think that we just kind of keep it in the pocket. More so.
And I think the structure is something that we can trust. Like, we trust that in the beginning of every episode, there is probably a 10-minute span. It could be 7, it could be 15, where we are going to just say whatever is up for us today. And I think that's something that our listeners have grown to trust about us. They trust that at some point after hearing the check-in that we're going to zoom in on a topic that is separate from the kind of check-in, and then we're just going to hit it. And, you know, I don't want to make it seem like at the beginning it was all randomness, because within these blue sky episodes, there were some of the most powerful episodes on shame and on, you know, naming and our very first significant other. I mean, everything was so beautiful because it was like the first time we said it before.
Yeah.
It was the first time that like we were analyzing a topic that had and putting something out in the world that has never kind of been discussed or analyzed. So it was just this beautiful balloon of amazingly rich and new content, where now we are still bringing it and there are new topics all the time, but we're also very much kind of backstroking to the golden years, to these episodes, and pulling different notes from them and really kind of workshopping them over and over and over. So I just think that we just, I don't know, we're amazing. We have a beautiful resume. And
we do.
I just feel so proud about how our fan base has expanded. It was, you know, look, there's 10 listeners now. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. 50 episodes. Oh my goodness. But now, like, the fact that we're heard, and I don't even know the number of countries we're heard in and have listeners in.
76 countries.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And we couldn't have done it. Like, I had a client ask me the other day, like, don't you think there's more of us around? Like, don't you think there's so much more of us? Us meaning I'm a cross-dresser. Surprise. No, I'm not. But like, I was like, hell yeah, there are. Yes, there are. And we are a proof. We are a testament to that because of how many listeners we have gathered and how far our outreach has kind of expanded. It's amazing.
It really is. It really is. It's been a journey. Every step has been fantastic. I've loved every step. And as we, like I said, slide into episode 100, we did, previous to this recording, a three-part episode, several hours worth of content with Julie, myself, and Judy when Julie was visiting. So yes, we kept that on the back burner because we thought it was a very important episode and had so much content. It was so much about our visit together and seeing each other for the first time. So we wanted to make that milestone in our own lives be a milestone on the pod. So that's what you get to look forward to next week. Mm-hmm. But this week, for both ourselves, and as a passion project for me to remaster the episode, the jump off point, and how we basically jumped off that cliff together, holding hands and hoping that we'll splash down in the water with just amazing feelings and joy. And we are, and we have. And so I can't wait for you all to hear where we came from so that come next week, you can see where we are.
Mm-hmm. You're here. I hope you all enjoy it. And we couldn't have gotten to this place without you. We have created this podcast because of you and for you. And this episode is a love letter to all of you.
Yeah. So without further ado, here we go.
Yep.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, Savannah.
Hey, do you know what today is?
What day is it today?
Well, today is our first podcast.
It is. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, this is like crazy amounts of work, and I have no clue what I'm doing technically on how to do a podcast. And I'm probably should get a 12-year-old to help us engineer it so we can do it right. But yeah, we have come quite a long way in a very short amount of time to put together this podcast. So I'm crazy nervous about it. I hope we do well. I hope it's something all the people want to hear. But yeah, it's like, here we are. The first
here
Fox,
we are.
Yeah, the first Fox and the Phoenix podcast, episode one.
Yes.
Yes. So how are you feeling about it?
I'm excited. We worked really hard to get to this point. I'm ready. A little nervous, but I'm present.
Well, present is good because I'm also nervous, and nervous energy is good energy. So I'm going to go with that as long as it doesn't.
And we're together.
And we're together, and it's going to work out. We met formally on April 24th. Mm. It wasn't planned. We happened to both be on the Free to Be She podcast with Jennifer sometimes, and we both have been individual guests. I don't know if you saw my episodes prior to us being on the same show, but I never did catch yours.
I saw one, but it was much later than the meeting we had. So both of us, it sounds like, had no idea much about the other person.
No, I knew of you and knew you were a guest and knew you had a styling service, but I have no idea what you were about, what your goals were, and why you were in the community. No idea until after.
And I think it's important to note that I don't know if being in the heart of the pandemic is an appropriate place, but we were all in it. And I know that you remember when we all went on as a panel and it was kind of showing that I was a bit distracted, setting up the scene, making sure that the background and the lighting and all was all set. My anxiety just didn't really consider that people were staring at me in that moment on the panel.
Is that why we're doing an audio podcast? So we don't have to worry about people staring at us?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I think that's exactly why. But do you remember me like setting up and?
Yes, you were setting up. I remember you were moving a mirror around, and I think you got up on your credenza to rehang it, and then it wouldn't rehang. So you laid it on top of the credenza and you moved your computer around your laptop or your computer around a bunch of times, trying to get the perfect background.
Yeah.
You were a mess. You were a mess.
Yeah. Did I win your first impression, Rose? With that elaborate display, did I impress you with my anxious ways?
I think it impressed upon me how much of a perfectionist you are.
Number one, and then two is how anxious you were to be on camera. Whereas I had been a guest a few times, and while I'm not too crazy about how I look a lot of times, I'm always very nervous about that. I think you were even more nervous than I was.
Yes, I was petrified. And that was the third time I had been on the Free to Be She podcast. The two times before were just with myself and Jennifer and Melissa. And I was petrified. I hated it. I hated every second of it, but I knew that it wasn't about me. It was about connecting with the cross-dressing community. So at some point, I was able to kind of look past my own ego and my own anxiety and realize, okay, if I can connect with just one person, or if I can show that I am an ally and that I have compassion and that I'm open to learning and understanding, then the whole experience and all my nerves are worth it. But back to us and that time.
Back to us.
Enough about us.
Yes. What about us?
I remember that once I got settled in and I was like, okay, I know that there's like, what, four people staring at me. Yeah. I'm not on yet, but I'm on in front of the, I'm ready to look up. I'm ready to ground myself. And I look over and I see you. And I just immediately felt some sort of connection. I can't really describe, but I knew that you were someone. It's like when you go to school and you meet someone where you're like, that person's going to be my friend.
Oh.
So that's what I felt. So I was immediately comfortable and wanted to learn more. And as the panel discussion came to be, I learned you have a brilliant mind and you have extensive knowledge in this community as a cross-dresser. And I don't know, there was just something familiar about you. And I just knew that you would be my friend.
Aww. Now, was that because I'm a cross-dresser or?
Yes, that was the only reason.
Well, I mean, you have an affinity for the people you're working with. I just wondered if that had like an added layer to it.
I don't really pick my friends based on like added layers. I go based on a spirit that I just feel. I could tell by your smile and I could tell, I don't know, but it was just something beyond listening to what you had to say and getting to know you. It was just, there was just that I've seen you before kind of familiar thing that I can't really describe. And it has happened throughout my life, you know, once or twice. It's this meeting again, and this is my person. Nice. And yeah.
Like I said, not having met you prior to that after party, watch party, after party, you know, the thing that struck me about you, other than watching you redo everything in your background for the podcast, was that.
Wait, other than my anxiety disorder?
Other than your anxiety disorder, beyond that and besides that, there was a couple moments where we were watching the clips. And one of the clips was when Geraldine got pulled over by the cops and ended up in jail as a result. Mm-hmm. And you had a visceral reaction to it. You know, so I'm watching the clip. And then because we can see everybody else in the party on the screen, I'm also looking at your reaction. I'm looking at Elizabeth's reaction and everybody's reaction to like what is happening. And yours was very raw. You were feeling what Geraldine was going through. I thought that was very touching. I thought that was very in tune with understanding how many of us feel as cross-dressers who are just trying to make it and not be accosted and not have fear of things like that happening. And I think you caught it. You caught it in your heart about what that was about. So that was why I was like, oh, wow, she really gets it. She really has an empathy for what people in the community, not just cross-dressers, but trans women and other members of the community, like what we possibly go through beyond what the typical cis male and female might go through. So I thought that was powerful. It's powerful stuff to see that reaction because you didn't know you were on screen or not. You know, they could have cut to you and they would be watching you with your head in your hands, like having a reaction to it. So I thought that was pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, I feel things really deeply, and especially having to do with transgender folks and cross-dressers. I felt that entire scene and I put myself in the positions of those individuals. And it was really painful to watch and to feel. So,
yeah. And the fear of it for us is, you know, it's real. It's a real fear. And to think that we could be pulled over anytime by just the wrong person in authority is definitely one of those worries.
And in my head, I keep on going back to what you said a few moments ago. And that's, did you instantly want to be my friend because I was a cross-dresser? And that's a really interesting question. I think my gut reaction was just kind of say, yeah, part of the work that I do and the people that I am drawn to working with and connecting with. So to say it wasn't part of it would be untrue. That being said, I definitely connect with a spirit and this a knowingness that I'm meant to know someone or whatever it is. There's a lot of that internal stuff that goes far past the external presentation. But I think that if you were in male mode, maybe I wouldn't have felt this instant draw to you. I don't know. It makes me think that question you ask, because it's not the only reason why I feel connected to you and why I wanted to go on this journey, this creative journey with you.
Right.
But it is a part of it.
Well, I will sell this in order to quell your fears and anxiety about what I had asked, is that I find that a lot of people who meet me in Savannah mode, who I confide in and, you know, discuss my life with, they tend to appreciate, well, at the very least, they tend to appreciate the fact that I'm being authentic and truthful and honest with this presentation. I mean, imagine I'm in South Carolina and I'm sitting in a Starbucks as Savannah, and it's the South, it's the Bible Belt, right?
Yeah.
But these people, I mean, you'll get some stares, you'll get some double takes, but then some people who want to learn about you have an appreciation for you living that authenticity in life. And I think that may be also a part of what draws people in. It's like, wow, this person is living out loud and living truth. There is, I think, some appreciation and admiration for that. That's what I've seen, and I've really been honored to be a part of those people's lives as well.
Yeah, and after the podcast aired, there was a natural progression. It didn't feel like this, oh my God, I need her number now. Let me get in touch. It was a very natural, very, I really appreciate this person. And this person had a giant influence on me. And somewhere in the podcast process, I knew that I wanted to know you for life, basically.
Oh.
Best friends forever.
BFF.
And then I reached out to the Free to Be She staff. I got your email. It almost feels like old school. Like, it feels very like 2003, because right now everything is so instant, right? Like, I could have, but my mind didn't go there. It went to a very much kind of natural progression where I got your email and then I reached out and I said, you know, it was really nice meeting you. And I forget what I said. Do you remember what I said? It was very like one sentence.
It was very cordial. It was very professional. It was very much like, hi, I'm Julie from Fox and Hanger. And
did
it was
I
a
say
pleasure.
That?
No, you didn't. It was very professional in terms of saying you appreciated me and you were happy and had the pleasure of being with me on a podcast and keep in touch. Not formal, but, you know, more professional as a entrepreneur.
But
I was going to say that was nothing compared to the second email.
Hey. Yes, the second email, you answered me same kind of tempo with the response back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my inner child, shy little redhead girl, just let loose and wrote this entire email of like every single creative endeavor that for some reason I haven't been able to do myself, but would you want to join me? Like, I literally put like six different things. I just listed all these things. And I think I felt like I was running a race and just getting all these things that have been just stored inside me. Being like, are you my person? Well, if you are, step right up, you know? And so there's a part of my personality. It's a very young part. It's there that is very intense and doesn't exactly do like, what's a mousse bouche? Isn't that like a little taste?
Yeah, no, there was none of that.
Fancy, no, it was like an emotional, creative smorgasbord of vomit that I was just being like, oh,
your email was like, you know, when you see those scrolls that unroll in medieval times that end up going across the floor as they unscroll because it's so long. That was, reading your email was like that. And I had to actually, you know, keeping to your food analogy, I had to digest everything I was reading. I did. I gave it all, everything equal weight. There was three major things you wanted to do. You even put them as one, two,
oh,
and three.
God.
It's like, well, if we can't do this, we can do this. If we can't we can do this.
And it wasn't little dreams. It wasn't like, we can get a bumper sticker. It was like, we can get a billboard together. Like,
it yes,
was like,
it was
a workbook. We can publish a book. It was not something you say on your first or second or hell, a year into knowing stuff. I mean, just, I apologize. And yeah, thank you so much for not bringing up the email to everyone on our very first, you know, go of this and be like, funny you mentioned that, Julie. I have it right here. It actually says,
you know? Well, I was gonna say, I'm gonna put the transcript of that email and probably some comment later on. But it was but it was like going to third base on a second day. It was a lot to do.
Third base after you said, how are you this evening?
Pretty
like
much,
it really was.
Pretty much. But I will say that the ideas were fantastic, and I was totally digging everything you were trying to put out. I was trying to figure out how I could be a part of that. You know, there were some things that just, I'd have to go back and reread it, but I picked the one I thought I would be the strongest with. Like, how could I work with you in a way that would be most beneficial to one of these topics that I felt I could help you tackle? And so, you know, as a result of that, that's why we started doing our conversations.
The blog.
We had focused on a blog and we focused on written word, right? And because I have a fairly established website that I do a lot of blogging, do a lot of article work, I figured, oh, it'll be easy enough to host it there and, you know, reformat what we do. And I don't know, I don't even remember how we ended up doing it all by Messenger.
Yeah.
We ended up just having a topic and just typing to each other for like 3 days for a topic.
but we did come together on video. You were able to ask, what is the point of this? What is the intention? And I was able to, in a much cleaner way than a freaking novel or in a very extended monologue, explain to you that I wanted to develop. And this was like probably the day after we got off the video messaging, I think I bought your book online, but I really wanted to develop a deeper understanding. I felt like I worked with crossdressers through Fox and Hanger, through my lookbook, and I got to know them on a very intimate level. I'm also in several Facebook groups, and I feel like I got an understanding, but I didn't feel, I felt like something was missing. I felt like I wanted to figure out how to position myself within this community and really be an effective ally. And working with you and having a conversation from my perspective and based on my experiences and your perspective based on your experiences, that it would make for a really interesting synergy.
I mean, I hope you got something out of the book.
Oh my God. The book? Yeah. The book changed me. The book, I just kept on. So the book I got was The Living with Crossdressing, Defining a New Normal. That was your first book, right?
That was the first book. Yeah.
And this was after we had our conversation where I told you that I wanted this understanding and I feel like a piece of the puzzle is missing for truly, truly getting the cross-dressing experience. And then I read your book and it was literally like, there were so many times where I was like, thank you. Like, you know, my neighbors must think I'm crazy, but I was just like, thank you. Thank you for putting this out there. Thank you for confirming to me what I already thought, and that's, it's more complicated than simply a fetish, than simply, you know, a man in a dress. It's more complicated. And there are so many clients that I have worked with before reading your book that a part of me wanted to go back to them and be like, so have you read this book? Because so often there's this confusion. And there's a confusion on behalf of the therapist people go to, the medical profession. There's this need to like, oh, I'm going to put you in a box. And if you are a crossdresser, you wouldn't feel grounded putting on female clothes. You would feel a sexual or would insert whatever stigma I thought or whatever stigma there is for a lot of trans folk about crossdressers. And what your book taught me was that it can be grounding. It can feel like a returning to oneself. It can be so much more. And so, yeah, this book was life-changing. This book just kind of solidified the gut reaction I had towards you that I wanted to work with you. I wanted to collaborate. And this book was just like a wealth of information It's life-changing. And it was so helpful for me to read as a cis female, as someone who wants to figure out how to partner up with crossdressers in a way that is kind and appropriate, and in a way that does involve some vulnerability and some ignorance on my behalf and some asking of questions. And this book really gave me permission to ask those questions, be confused, and learn a hell of a lot of information. So yeah, we could spend the entire time talking about your book.
We'll do another podcast about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is not a one and done. So I think we might have a few topics we can tackle. But I will tell you this, just as a note on what you've learned, I can't tell you how many men who are crossdressers have come to me recently as this past week. A gentleman probably in his late 50s, early 60s, is trying to discover where he's at with crossdressing. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I feel that, oh, you know, the internet's out there. You can do a search and figure it all out. But I find that not everybody is like me. And maybe they see it, they're too internal to it, and they can't see outside themselves to see back to themselves. But I've been struggling with this since I was a kid. You know, I was trying to figure it out. And I think that for whatever reason, however my brain works, whether it's the creative and the analytical combo, I think it just allowed me to be more, I don't know, exploratory in understanding things, which then, at the end of the day, helps me understand myself. I'm very, very happy, very honored that people have asked me about the book. Not only the cross-dressing male, but also the wife or the girlfriend has reached out to me through Instagram or Facebook and said, mm-hmm. Hey, I so appreciate what you've done. I didn't expect that. I just wrote what I knew, mm-hmm. not realizing that there was so much that the cross-dresser themselves didn't know to look at. I won't belabor it. We could go on again for a while on that.
We could.
But I think what the end result of all this was is that you want to collaborate and you wanted to bring something to the table. You wanted to take something in informatively and kind of passionately. And that was why we started doing the conversations for the blog, is to, you would ask a question or you would have a topic and we both would riff in monologue form or answer questions to each other. And I would then take all those, that thread, that entire messenger thread, and try to make it into a conversation, a physical conversation in Word to be loaded to the website. Now, so all that being said, Julie, what happened to that blog?
I believe one day I woke up and I looked at my phone and there was a message from you saying, I feel like we need to go in podcast form. And that was something that you and I had kind of talked about in terms of like eventually or let's see. But the truth of the matter is, it was a way for us to reach our goals and much quicker. It was a way to connect with the audience in a way that was much more direct, in a way for them to get to know each other in terms of our banter, if you will, and our connection. It just was straight up more effective.
Yes.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. If there's one thing I know about myself, I'm lazy.
Really? Are you though?
No, I'm not. But I tell you what, there are some things, as much as we learned about each other in those four conversations we had, which they probably will come to light at some point, but the four conversations we had with each other were just as illuminating for us to each other as it was for somebody else who might read it. The problem is we were spending so much time putting it together. And we were on the cusp of launching it and being ready. I just found that it would just take up all our time just doing these conversations in written form. I mean, my thumbs were getting very tired messaging through that medium. And it just seemed like you and I have a lot more dynamic energy to speak about it and just go off on tangents.
For sure.
Yeah.
And we're both writers. We both kind of write how we talk, and it felt very natural, as natural right. as it felt. There was missing that huge component, and that is the component where people can listen and feel the essence of who we are. And that was something that was very important to us, is getting that across and getting our personality across and the fact that we're not totally boring. You know, like sometimes we have our moments where there's a little bit of funniness that comes across. Is that a word?
Funniness? Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's just been since we made that decision, it's like the stars, like everything opened up. And as much as it still is work, it felt like the blog was just a stepping stone for this even bigger creative process.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we had talked, like you said, we had talked about like, well, you know, we do this for a while and if it gets traction and, you know, then we'll slowly figure out how to do a podcast.
No.
As soon as I realized how much work I was putting into the conversion of those conversations and editing and getting it prepped for a page on the website and getting it launchable, I realized, man, we could be just doing this, you know, by talking to each other. Let me figure out how to do a podcast. So here we are.
Right. And we would have conversations.
Yes.
That where you would share with me and I would share with you. And I'd be like, if this should be recorded. This is just, and we never wanted the podcast to be something that was totally scripted. We wanted to feel very natural and organic. Mm-hmm. But the conversations we were having were so important for the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
It was just like, let's just do this. And neither of us had done or thought, well, I thought of it. You never thought of doing a podcast. Well, I thought of it, but I was just like, at least that's what you told me. What's the truth?
At the New York Coming Out Conference, New York City. And I was doing I was leading some seminars there. And after one of the seminars, we were talking about podcasts and people who were doing it. And they were like, oh, Savannah, you should do a podcast. And I'm like, who is going to want to listen to me talk?
But yeah, I remember.
And I remember
you telling me that.
Yeah, and my biggest problem was one, I'm not going to monologue by myself, and two, I was so worried about my voice. Mm. I was so worried somebody's going to hear me, and even though it's supposed to be a cross-dresser podcast, that because I don't do voice work and I haven't bothered to do feminine voice work, that people would be turned off by that. People would hear me and not grasp that connection between Savannah the cross-dresser and this male-ish voice or hearing on this audio podcast. So I kind of really dismissed it for those couple reasons. Mm-hmm. Because one, talking to myself is not really fun. And two, is the voice. So until you... I never would have actually considered it again as something viable for me.
And do you remember what I told you when we had the conversation about the voice? What I said?
Remind me.
I said, for the listeners and for the people that are struggling or trying to make sense of this, they want to hear someone that sounds like them. They want to hear someone else is going through what they're going through, but almost, I don't want to say in a better way, but in a more enlightened way. So if I was a crossdresser, I wouldn't really connect with someone that had this amazing feminine voice. Mm. It would make me feel bad about myself. It would make me feel self-conscious. Gotcha. But knowing that you're so visible and out there in the world and going to Starbucks and doing the things, it would give me wings to be able to go out there and do the things and say, well, this is my voice. This is Savannah's voice. I would have a role model.
Be a validation.
I would have a role model in you. Yeah. It would be a validation, and I would have someone who, as much as you don't want to maybe accept this, you are a role model. People look up to you, and if you can do it, they can. I wouldn't want to hear anything else. Your voice is perfect and beautiful, and when you and I talk, how we talk to each other and what we talk about and our relationship creates this melodic and feminine tone together that just taps so deeply into the divine feminine that I can't imagine it any other way.
Hmm. Well, I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. It's hard for me. It's always one of those things of a passability and being clocked, knowing that I could sit someplace on looking at my laptop and looking a certain way, but as soon as I speak up, the illusion is gone.
Yes.
You know, and I really struggle still. I still struggle with the idea of bursting that bubble. With like, oh, wait, that's not a woman. That's a man. Yes. Listen to that voice. There's so many little things that you try to perfect. And I think I do a fairly good job of it. But like, you know, my arm hair, I feel it's a dead giveaway. My voice is a dead giveaway. Maybe if I'm not paying attention to how I walk, you know, and my comportment is maybe not as tight and defined that moment as I'm, you know, stumbling through uneven terrain, whatever it might be. It's always something that is in the back of my head of worry. Not because I feel like something bad's going to happen to me, but I just feel like maybe I'm failing in some way.
Yeah. And I never want my praise and my my little synopsis about why I love your voice just the way you are to take away from those feelings and take away from the fact that it is pain. You are out in the world. You are exposing yourself, and the voice is a giveaway. It's real. And I don't want you to think that what I just shared about why you being you is so effective for the work we're doing, I don't want it to take away from the fact that it's real, it's painful, I get it. And it may or may not be something that to get over. It may be something to be carried with.
You know what? It's funny you said that, because it is important to get over it. If it was such a concern for me, why haven't I done the work?
Right.
I don't want to do the work. I have no interest doing that work. So even though I have these negative issues to contend with, it is something I need to get over. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to do anything different. I'm not going to go out there and affect a higher voice or, you know, more soft voice. And sometimes I do. It's like when I become Savannah, things become softer. Things become more soft-spoken and even. But man, if you get me laughing, there ain't nothing soft about my laughter. So... no worries about that. But yeah, it's something I need to internalize and think about and kind of reflect on. If that's what's going to happen, be prepared for the outcome, be prepared for the consequence, and be okay with it. I agree with what you said. There are other people out there thinking the same thing. Other cross-dressing males who don't have the time, ability, discipline to do voice work. And maybe that's not important to them. It's just important for them to feel the tactile nature of the clothing and in the makeup. And voice is not critical. I like what you said, that if other people are out there doing the same exact thing, I'm not terminally unique. There's nothing super unique about who I am as a cross-dressing male. So it's just a matter of owning up to it, living it, loving it, and moving forward.
Hear, hear.
So here we are.
Here we are.
We decided, doing blog work as two writers, we decided to get over ourselves. And our egos are like, well, we're writers. We have to write, as opposed to let's do this podcast because we're filmmakers.
And communicators. Yes.
Right. At the end of the day, that's what we are, as communicators, right?
Yep.
So to everybody listening today, this is our first podcast, and it is terrifying and exciting. And
we want you to join us on this journey as we fumble through this and we try to figure it all out. We hope that you'll stand by us and tune in
to everything we have to say, because it's so important and riveting.
Oh, it's epic.
It is really, truly epic on an unimaginable scale. But I think what's great about us is that, one, you are an ally who is passionate about the community. I am somebody who is obviously a crossdresser who is passionate about learning more about myself.
Wait, you're a crossdresser?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I not tell you that before this podcast? I'm sorry.
Very awkward.
I'm so sorry. Usually I lead with that, but
I just thought you had a deep voice. And
But I will say that what we hope to do, I mean, our dream for this podcast, right, was to learn from each other and hopefully provide something to the non-transitioning crossdresser who is just trying to get through life. What I love about podcasting is the same thing I'm terrified about my books, is that everybody says, well, if you had an audiobook, I'd listen to it. I'm like, I don't have the money to do an audiobook. Just read it.
Right.
And this is one of those things where I love podcasts. I listen to a dozen podcasts on the way to work and on the way home and in my spare time. And I know that if somebody has 20 minutes on a commute, it's so easy to just throw in the earbuds and listen. So I'm thinking that, you know, this is important to do it even this way too.
Yes. And one of the driving force for us was that there's not anything really out there like that. There may be something kind of like it, but not the kind of content non-transitioning crossdressers deserve. And that is one of the reasons why I'm so excited about doing this, is because it feels like the podcast that's needed in the world.
I agree. I mean, there's plenty of trans, you know, transgender, trans women transitioning podcasting. I'll give a shout out to one podcast I love, which is Gender Rebels with Kath and Faith. They're amazing. And Faith is transitioning and getting her surgeries and walking people along the way and talking about what she's going through and what to expect and how she feels and sees a community. And I love that.
Shout out to Gender Rebels.
That's right. So I will always plug them. I love the work they do. I love how they make me think. I mean, again, as a crossdresser, it still makes you think, and it should. Anything you listen to should be something that makes you think. And for me, and feel. And like knowing that Faith is transitioning and transitioned and living full time. I mean, she considered herself a cross-dresser back in the day, but she transitioned. So there's always that thing in the back of your mind, whether it's the cross-dresser or the spouse or people they know, who says, well, you're going to transition. And I am not naive or stupid enough to think I don't need to think about it. For me, every time I hear something, I'm like, huh, how does that affect me? Let me think about it. Let me internalize it. Let me chew on it a while. And for me, it's always is very validating to say to yourself, I've thought about this. I've come up with pros and cons. I've come up with what's in my heart and in my head. And okay, fear aside, what would I do if? And those are very important things that everybody, not just cross-dressers, not just people in the community, everybody should be doing that on a continual basis. Because if you're not evolving and you are not spending time reflecting on who you are and where you're going and like what your evolution, what your journey is, if you're static and stagnant, you're never going to go beyond who you are. And you might not even be at full capacity where you are now. So for me, I've always, for whatever reason, I've always had that knack to just kind of like take it all in and try to figure it out. Maybe I didn't do it very well when I was younger, when I first came out as a crossdresser or a transvestite in 1996 in New York City. There was a lot of unknowns and I didn't know what to do with a lot of the information I was getting in. But the more you think about it, the more you can understand yourself better. And that's what I'm hoping we can provide people, better understanding for who we are. People who are allies, what they can understand about us, what crossdressers can understand about themselves. So yeah, I'm hoping that we can come with it every week with something that will be illuminating and enlightening and let people think about it for themselves and see where they fit into that or whether they fit at all, you know?
And we're gonna do the work. Cause a lot of what you speak of in terms of your process and all the ways your mind works to process and to look at all these angles, it involves doing work. It involves facing your fear. And so often I'll meet individuals that if they dip back even a little bit into the idea of their womanhood or where it fits, that there's a part of them that will just get lost in it, need to transition, get on meds, surgery. Like there's such a fear of just letting go and surrendering to exploration and to looking at all the angles. And one of my hopes for this podcast is that we, in a way, can give people permission to examine their femininity in all its different parts, in all its different ways.
Yeah, because femininity is not just something that's biological. I mean, I think people need to know that. I think if anybody looks at anybody else on the street, you will see a mix and match of men and women with varying degrees of masculinity and femininity. And it's not just tied to the biological male, the biological female. You don't need to be a card-carrying member of the female or male species and only get the stereotypical emotions that come with that. So right. I agree with you. People need to understand that it's okay to be feminine. It's okay to explore that and not feel like that there needs to be a physical permanent transformation in order to elicit it.
And you're evolving. I mean, you're living in South Carolina.
Yes.
I'm living in the San Francisco Bay Area. You just got to do that. It just shows you just got to do that internal work. And I guess you carry with yourself a very colorful resume of a lot of different experiences so that you can get to this point. For people listening, I want them to know that it's not just this, okay, I'm going to decide to do that. Your information, your integrating of all these different concepts and points and my understanding and my learning and my unlearning all comes from our experiences, our individual experiences. So we want to honor that this is hard. This is really hard stuff. It's not just a matter of shifting your mindset and getting over it or just finally stepping out in that dress. And why can't I just do that? It involves a lot of internal work and a lot of self-love and finding people to be your tribe, finding podcasts, finding, you know, people to follow on Instagram, finding who speaks to you in your story or who speaks to that person you wish to be a year from now.
Even if you don't know who that person is, or even if that person you thought you were supposed to be 6 months down the line is not even the person that you're becoming.
Right. Even if we thought we were doing a freaking blog and it turned out a podcast.
Yeah, who knew? Say, that's a perfect example of how this happens. It's organic and it should be allowed to grow organically. I was terrified of podcasting. I didn't know word one about how to edit audio or get it to be formatted and launched to the world. And here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. I echo everything you just said. I'm excited for the journey. I'm excited for what we can bring to the people. I'm excited to hear comments back. And just to let our listeners know, we will read everything. We will take everything to heart. If you have a comment, we are willing to share it. Again, it's not just about us giving you stuff. It's about us giving back. We are absolutely here to further everybody along the way.
Yes. And thank you so much for taking a listen.
Thank you. And Julie, love you too. Have a great one.
You too. Shalom. Until next time.
All right. Bye. You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living with Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
The Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2022. Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.